أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. فالحديث الذي سنتكلم حوله حديث وموضوع مهم جدا، وذلك أن السحر والعين والمس لا يخلو منه مكان ولا يخلو منه مصر من أمصار العالم، سواء كانت أمصار مسلمين أم كافرين. وذلك أن الناس إلا من رحم الله في غالبهم غفلوا عن ذكر الله، وابتعدوا عن التوحيد الخالص، وتلبسوا بالمعاصي والذنوب، وضعف إخلاصهم، هذا الإخلاص الذي يعصمهم من الشيطان، كما أخبر الله عز وجل حيث قال: إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان. ولقد أقسم الشيطان لرب العزة والجلال أن يغوي بني آدم إلا المخلصين والمخلصين منهم، فقد حكى الله عز وجل عنه أنه قال: فبعزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. So إخوان، the Shaykh started off with reading Surah Al-Hajj. Thereafter he mentioned that the speech that we are going to speak about today, the topic that we are going to cover today, is of most importance, and indeed it is the subject of magic, sihr, and evil eye, ayn. Sorcery and evil eye. No one is free from this. The Sheikh mentioned there is nobody that is free from this, whether they are Muslim or Kafir. And this is because the people, most of the people, are ignorant of the zikr, remembrance of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and they are far from tawheed, singling Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala out for worship alone. And the people are full of sin, weak in their sincerity towards Allah. And all this is what saves one from shaitan. As Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he said to shaitan, when he was addressing shaitan, he said that indeed, as for my slave, my true slave, then you will have no authority over them, meaning no, having no power over them. And then there commenced a dialogue, as we know, between Satan and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, where he said, Satan said, that indeed I will send astray all of your creation except a few. And the few he described to be the sincere few, the ones with ikhlas.
وحيثما وجد الشيطان وجد السحر، لأن السحرة يستعينون بالشيطان، وحيثما وكذلك وجدت العين، لأن الشيطان يحضر حينما يعجب المرء بشيء أو بآخر ولا يذكر اسم الله،
ولا يبرك أن يدعو بالبركة. وكذلك المس الشيطاني الذي أصيب به جمع غفير من المسلمين ومن غير المسلمين، وغير المسلمين أكثر إصابة بالمس الشيطاني من المسلمين. ولقد ذكر نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم حال الذي يفشي سر زوجته ويحدث بما يكون بينه وبينها من جماع، فيشبهه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشيطان لقي شيطانه، يعني تشكل في صورة إنسان، وتشكل ذلك الشيطان في صورة إنسان وجامعها على قارعة الطريق والناس ينظرون. إن هذا الحديث علم من أعلام نبوة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإننا قد سمعنا ولم نرى ولله الحمد أنه يمارس في الحدائق في بلاد الكفر هذا الجماع العلني من غير نكير من الناس، وفعلا هذا لا يقدم على هذا الفعل إلا من كان ملبوسا بالشيطان، لأن من كان عنده ذرة من إنسانية لا يقدم على هذا العمل الحيواني الشيطاني.
The Sheikh went on to say upon that Satan, he found sorcerers, because the magicians or the sorcerers, they were using the shayateen and they were using evil eyes. And this Satan, he can only come and overpower any individual when that individual forgets mentioning Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, especially when he sees something nice and he loves it and he likes it and he is astonished by it, and then he forgets to mention the name of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala over this. And so then Satan, he takes this and he uses this incident to cause problems there. And then he went on to say about possession, and possession we find many of the Muslims falling into this issue. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke about a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, who when they are with others they speak about each other's private times, you know, when they have had their maybe sexual intercourse or anything that is private. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a simulation between such an individual who does that and as if he himself, when he spoke about his wife or she spoke about her husband, as if they were having intercourse in the streets or when they were speaking that speech about each other. And I just wanted to say that this very hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a sign for us today, and we witness this in its manifest form here, especially in this Dar al-Kufr, in this land of the Kuffar, where we see people with no shame doing these things in the streets, speaking openly about what they've done with their wives and what their wives done with their husbands. And then he went on finally at the end to say that it is only the one who is afflicted by Satan that will do such a thing as that. And he's speaking about his husband or his wife speaking, or his husband speaking about his wife.
والسحر عرفه العلماء فقالوا هو ما خفي ولطف سببه. قال الله تعالى: وسحروا أعين الناس واسترهبوهم وجاءوا بسحر عظيم. وهذا النوع من السحر هو سحر التخييل، وهناك السحر الآخر الذي يستعين به شيطان الإنس بشياطين الجن
إما عن طريق النفس في العقد كما قال الله عز وجل ومن شر النفاثات في العقد، أو عن طريق السجود للشيطان أو الذبح له، أو أن يفعل موبقة من الموبقات بأمر من الشيطان مقابل أن يخدمه الشيطان وأن يساعده في بعض ما يطلبه منه، أو والعياذ بالله كما يفعل بعض السحرة أن يدنس القرآن أو أن ينتعل القرآن أو أن يرقي القرآن في النجاسة. كل ذلك يفعله السحرة، ولذلك الساحر لا يكون ساحرا حتى يكفر بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا، ويعبد الشيطان ويطيع الشيطان ويعصي الرحمن.
The other side you mentioned was the type of sorcery where the shayateen from mankind, they seek aid and help from the shayateen of the jinn. And this was established in various ayahs of the Quran, and one of them which you mentioned was وَمِنْ شَرِّ نَفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, from the evil of the knot that when he ties his knot. And as a magician, a sorcerer, one who does this sahar, Satan for him is like an ilah, is like a god. He prostrates to him. He does all actions for him. He basically worships Satan. And a sorcerer cannot be a sorcerer except until he does the most evilest of deeds. And of some of the evilest deeds that the Shaykh mentioned, one of them was that to hold the Quran in majlis and the likes of that. And a sahir, a person, a sorcerer, is only a sorcerer. He can only be a sorcerer when he disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rejects the Quran and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and everything that he came with, and he obeys Satan. He worships Satan.
ولذلك جاءت الأحاديث الصريحة الصحيحة في تحريم إتيان الكهان والعرافين والمنجمين والسحرة. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أتى كاهنا أو عرافا فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن مجرد إتيان الكهان والسحرة ولو من غير تصديق لإظهار المودة وإنشاء العلاقة معهم يمنع رفع قبول الصلاة 40 يوما. من أتى كاهنا لم تقبل له صلاة 40 يوما. والسحر ثابت بالقرآن والسنة وإجماع الأمة، ولا عبرة بمن شذ كالمعتزلة وأفراخهم من العقلانيين في هذا العصر الذين أنكروا السحر وزعموا أنه ليس له حقيقة، وأن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يسحر، مع أن الحديث في صحيح مسلم سحره لبيد بن الأعصم اليهودي وظل متأثرا بالسحر 6 أشهر، ولكن الشريعة معصومة. أما كونه صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر فقد تأثر بالسحر كسائر البشر. كذلك أما ثبوت السحر بالكتاب بالقرآن فمن قوله تعالى: واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر، وغير ذلك من الآيات. أما الأحاديث فقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في حديث اجتنبوا 7 الموبقات وذكر منها السحر. وأما الإجماع فقد قام إجماع أهل السنة والجماعة من الصحابة والتابعين والأئمة 4 وأهل الحديث والعلماء الربانيين في كل زمان على أن للسحر حقيقة، وأن له أثرا، وأن فيه ضررا، وأن فيه ضرر، لكنه لا يكون إلا بإذن الله، إلا بإرادة الله الكونية لا بإرادته الشرعية.
And then the Shaykh he went on to say that all this is because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, whoever comes to a Shahina, which I think is here, is a diviner and an astronomer and astrologer, and believes in him, then such a person has disbelieved in what has been revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such an individual therefore is a disbeliever. But if one were to go to an astrologer and not believe in him, then at the least such a person's prayer will not be accepted for 40 days. And then the Shaykh went on to say that sahar, magic, this sorcery is established in the Quran and in the Sunnah and by ijma, and it's something that all of us have to believe in, unlike the Mu'tazila and some of the intellectualists who reject that this has an existence. They decide that there is no such thing. And he mentioned something about a Jew which I didn't get, but then he went on to say,
he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sorcery done upon him, and his sorcery did not in any way affect the legislation for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sharia is ma'asum. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the clearest of the Indian man, the human being, and therefore the sorcery was able, the sorcery was able to get the same harm with Labdir ibn Aslam and Yahudi in Egypt.
And from the evidences that are established in the Quran is the ayah in Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they followed that which was revealed.
اتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان.
And they followed that which is revealed upon the mulk of Suleiman, upon the shayateen, which is revealed, the shayateen which followed that which is revealed upon Suleiman. But Suleiman did not disbelieve. ولكن الشياطين كفروا. But the shayateen, they are the ones who disbelieve. That they taught the people sahar, sorcery.
ومن يعلمون.
And they didn't teach anybody except that they said
that ما أنزل على الملكين في بابل هاروت وماروت.
And this was revealed by the way of Harut and Marut. And then after the next ayah said basically that because it was Harut and Marut that it was revealed upon. And when it was revealed upon, they said that this has been revealed upon us. But this is a fitna that we have with us, so do not disbelieve, and you do not use it for a disbelief. And in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, the second evidence, he said, and abstain from the seven great major sins. And of these seven great major sins was magic, dealing with magic or sorcery. And then the Shaykh finally said that it is also ijma, established by the scholars and the ulama of the past and present, that zahar, that magic or sorcery is true.
Yeah.
It is a reality, it is true, and it has its harm. And that it is something of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kawniyah, his existence, that he made exist.
That the harm that is caused with this sorcery is a harm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only harm of Allah wills it. Meaning that if he wants the kawniyah, universally rule, and the creator. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates it and he dislikes it, then he will will it for a servant to set the servant.
والعلماء يقسمون السحر إلى قسمين: سحر عطف، يعني سحر المحبة، عطف قلب الزوج على زوجته أو الزوجة على زوجها أو العاشق على عشيقته أو نحو ذلك، وسحر الصرف وهو سحر التفريق، وهذا أكثر ما يكون من السحرة، أنهم يفرقون بين المرء وزوجه، بين الأخ وأخيه، بين الصديق وصديقه، بين الشريك وشريكه، بين الأب وابنه، بين الابن والأب، وهكذا بين المسلمين. وذلك أن الشيطان هذه هي وظيفته وهذه هي مهمته، وهو يفرح بذلك وهو يدأب على فعل ذلك. فقد جاء في الحديث أن الشيطان ينصب عرشه على الماء ثم يبعث بعثه من الشياطين يرسلهم في الأرض ليفسدوا في الأرض، فيرجعون إليه في المساء، فيسأل كل واحد منهم ماذا فعل، فيقول لا زلت بفلان حتى زنى، فيقول له لم تفعل شيئا، يوشك أن يتوب. لا زلت بفلان حتى زرى، لم تفعل شيئا، يوشك أن يتوب. حتى يأتي واحد يقول له لا زلت بفلان حتى فرقت بينه وبين أهله، بينه وبين أصحابه وأحبابه، فيدنيه منه ويربط على كتفه ويقول أنت أنت، يعني أنت الذي حققت مرادي وقمت على ما أريد حقا. فلذلك أكثر أفعال السحرة والعياذ بالله في التفريق، منع الرجل من الدخول على زوجته، يأتي الرجل يأتي يدخل على أهله فيصبح مثله مثلها، لا يستطيع أن يؤدي الوظيفة الزوجية لأنه قد سلط عليه شيطان، دخل في جسده فضغط أو تلبسه في جسده ومسكه من البروستات التي هي تقوم بالوظيفة الجنسية. يأتي على المرأة ليمنعها من الحمل، فكلما علقت البويضة أسقطها. وبعض هؤلاء الشياطين والعياذ بالله يسببون أمراضا مزمنة يعجز الطب عن علاجها. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبرنا في الحديث الصحيح عن الطاعون، مرض الطاعون الذي يفتك بالناس فتكا، قال عليه الصلاة والسلام واخذوا أعدائكم من الجن. فهذا الطاعون مرض طاعن مزمن، فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بيّن أنه وخز من الجن، وبيّن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن الاستحاضة التي تصيب المرأة والنزيف الذي يصيبها إنما هو رقبة من الشيطان، يعني رقبة من الشيطان يفجر عرقا في رحمها فيصل عندها النزيف. فالشياطين والسحر قد يؤدي لبعض الناس إلى الجنون والعياذ بالله، قد يؤدي ببعضهم إلى الشلل، قد يؤدي ببعضهم إلى الأمراض السل والسرطان وتشمع الكبد وغير ذلك من الأمراض. فلا يقف حد السحر على مجرد الخيال ومجرد الألم، لا، بل في ذلك كما بينا في بعض الأحاديث التي ثبتت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the Shaykh went on to say that the scholars have divided sahar, sorcery, into two types: that which is
sahar, or a magic sorcery of luck, and that which is sorcery of sorcery, which will be explained now. The first one, which was sorcery of luck, is where the sorcerer does magic on her husband to make the wife love the husband, or vice versa. And then the other one, the sorcery of sorcery, was where he does the opposite to this. He causes division and hatred. And so the Shaykh wanted to explain that this is the work, this is the job of the Shayateen, this is what they do, the Shaytan, that they divide, they segregate between brothers and sisters, and husbands and wives, and between the Muslims as well. And then he went on to explain about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that Shaytan's arsh was on the water. It says the meaning of the Shaytan's arsh was above the water, and from there he used to send his shayateen out to cause corruption on the earth, and they would go and cause all types of corruption, and they return in the evening and speak to their master, the Shaytan, and he would say to them, so and so, what did you do? And he said, I called so and so to do zina, and he said, this is nothing, you've done nothing, so indeed he's going to make tawbah from this. And the other shayateen would come and he'd say, what did you do? And he said, I caused one to drink wine, and he said, you did nothing, or did he to make tawbah from this? And then another one would come and said, the idea is so and so with this family, meaning he divided a husband between a wife or a sister from a brother, etc., and caused division. And then when he heard this, he said, yes you, and he called him closer and said, you are the closest one to me. And from the works of the shayateen are many, and from them, what I can remember what I wrote was that the Shaykh said that he can cause a man to not to enter his wife and make him lose that desire for his wife. And he can also come into the woman to prevent her from becoming pregnant. And they can also cause diseases of which the doctors can find no cure for whatsoever.
Illnesses that can be caused by sorcery. He makes it plain, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this comes from the deadliest of the jinn that they cause these plagues to occur. Another issue is cancer, and also shahada, which is the woman having a continuous menstrual cycle. Also, he may cause a woman to lose her weight because she tries to have babies, the cross contact of miscarriage. And similarly, stopping the work of the prostate gland with the man. And all of these buildings are well known and known there. Majority of them are signs of the
religious. So it's just enough to say that basically the work of Shaytan is many. It's not just causing pain and sickness, but all these other things that you mentioned and others as well.
ولذلك حينما يذهب بعض الجهلة وضعيفي الإيمان إلى بعض السحرة ليعملوا سحرا لآخرين، أول ما يطلب أن يؤتى بأثر من ذاك الذي يراد أن يسحر له، فيأخذون من أثره ويصنعون السحر ويأخذون اسم أمه ويستعينون بالشياطين ويصنعون هذا السحر. وأحيانا يكون هذا السحر مأكولا، فيضعون بعض الأسحار وبعض السحر في أعشاب وفي نجاسات دم الحيض أو غائط الإنسان والعياذ بالله، وربما وضعوا بعض الأعشاب السامة والمؤذية وجعلوها في طعام هذا الإنسان الذي يراد أن يسحر، فيستقر هذا السحر في بطنه فيشكو من ألم في أعلى المعدة هنا، وغازات تنتشر في بطنه ودوار وقيء وصداع وشرود في الذهن ووسوسة كثيرة في الصلاة وتخبط من الشيطان وخروج الزبد وآلام تتنقل في جميع الجسم، هذه أعراض السحر. وأحيانا يضعون والعياذ بالله مخ الحمار في السحر، يأخذون دماغ الحمار ويجعلونه في السحر ويطعمونه، وخصوصا وغالبا ما يكون هذا السحر تصنعه المرأة لزوجها الذي تريده أن يكون كالخاتم في إصبعها، يأتمر بأمرها وينتهي بإشارتها، فتطعمه من حيضها أو من غائطها أو تطعمه دماغ حمار فيتبلد كالحمار. إذا قالت له كما يقال عندنا في العامية حا مشى إيش وقف. ولقد علمت بعضهم أطعم من دماغ الحمار وأطعم من هذه النجاسات، كانت بعضهم أطعم من دماغ الحمار وأطعم من هذه النجاسات، كانت زوجته تدخل الرجال إلى بيتها وهو ينظر وهو يقوم على خدمتهم. فالسحر يفعل ذلك وأكثر من ذلك.
So the Shaykh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, and listen intensively, that for this reason, when the ignorant and the weak, they go to the sorcerer or the magician to inflict this sorcery upon other than themselves, upon others, they have to bring certain things from that individual. And they have to bring his name, like the name of his mother, etc., etc. Some various information they have to bring. And they have to use various things in order to allow this sorcery to work. And of them things are excretion, period, and all types of nudges and dirt. And then what they do with these things is they put it in the food of the one who is going to be possessed, or the one who's going to be affected, and then it causes that individual to have pain and gas in his stomach, causes headaches, so many symptoms. Of the symptoms which I managed to write down were these ones here, what I just read out, and that he gets continuous whispering in his prayer, and he gets continuous pain all over his body, moving from one part of the body to the other. And another thing that they use, these sorcerers, is the brain of a donkey. And they use this brain of a donkey and mix it into the food of the individual who's to be possessed. And we find that, and he said that the wife, this is something that the wife does. She does all these things using her period and excretion and the brain of a donkey, and feeds these things to her husband in order to control him. And after feeding him with the brain of a donkey and the likes of all these things, he becomes basically like a donkey. When she says do something, he just does it.
Sheikh Habibullah mentioned also that she wants her husband to be like a ring on her finger, that she can move him about any direction. He said he has heard this type of sorcery working to such a degree where a husband will allow men into his house to perform illegal sexual intercourse with his wife, and he will be serving them, all because she has done this type of sorcery upon him.
ولذلك كان السحر كفرا، وكان نعد الساحر ضربة بالسيف. ولقد قتلت أم سلمة رضي الله عنها امرأة سحرتها. فالساحر كما قال العلماء يقتل ولا يستتاب. ولذلك عده النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي السحر من السبع الموبقات. بقي أن أقول اختصارا للموضوع كيف نتقي السحر. نتقي السحر أيها الإخوة، أولا بتحقيق التوحيد لله عز وجل وإخلاص الدين لله وبأكل الحلال وباتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ظاهرا وباطنا وبالمحافظة على الصلوات في الجماعة وخصوصا صلاة الفجر، لأن من صلى الفجر في جماعة فهو في ذمة الله، وأن نحافظ على أخوتنا الإسلامية، لأن الشيطان قوي على الواحد وهو على الاثنين أضعف، وهو على الثلاثة أضعف من الاثنين، وهكذا. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما رأى الصحابة متفرقين في الشعب والوديان قال لهم إن تفرقكم هذا من عمل الشيطان. ونحن نعلم أن الشيطان لا يترك الإنسان حتى في صلاته، إذا قام الرجل للصلاة أقبل يوسوس له حتى ينسيه صلاته، ويتخلل الصفوف كصغار الماعز، فإذا أذن المؤذن ولى الشيطان وله تراب، كما ثبت بذلك الحديث، يولي عند الأذان ويولي عند الإقامة. ولا بد أن يكون لك أيها المسلم وردا وردا من القرآن ومن الذكر، ومن أفضل ذلك قول لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، 100 مرة في الصباح و100 مرة في المساء. وإن من أعظم ما يتبع به كيد الشيطان والسحر والعين والمس آية الكرسي، التي قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها أنها عصمة من الشيطان، وأن من قرأها في المساء لا يزال معه من الله حافظ إلى الصباح ولا يقربه الشيطان. وكذلك خواتيم سورة البقرة، من قرأها في ليلة كفتاه آيتان ختم الله بهما سورة البقرة، من قرأهما في ليلته كفتاه، قيل عن قيام الليل وقيل عن الشرور والآفات. وكذلك الإخلاص، سورة الإخلاص والمعوذتين والفاتحة والأذكار، أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق، إلى غير ذلك مما ورد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أذكار طيبة وأدعية طيبة يدفع المسلم بها عن نفسه غوائل الشياطين الإنسية والجنية والهامات والآفات بجميعها إلا ما شاء الله عز وجل.
So the Shaykh went on to say, Akhwan, that this is why all that we mentioned before, sorcery or magic, is something which is kufr. And the punishment for this sorcerer is that he is struck by a sword and he has his head chopped off. And he mentioned something about a Sahabi who was inflicted with sahab. Salama was afflicted with sahab. And then he went on to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
وعمر أرسل إلى الأمصار أن يقتلوا كل ساحر وساحر.
And that Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, he sent for all the sorcerers to have their heads chopped. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also said that this sorcery, this magic, is from the major sins, from the 7 major sins. And this hadith was mentioned earlier. After mentioning all this, he said, now let us look at ways in which we can avoid this sorcery and protect ourselves from this. And he said, first and foremost, to establish tawheed correctly and with sincerity. And then he said, eating halal and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam apparently and inwardly, and in praying salat al-jama'ah in congregation, and reliance, and having total reliance upon Allah Ta'ala. And regarding the salat al-jama'ah, he stressed Salat al-Fajr, because the Salat al-Fajr is a protection from Allah Ta'ala if it's prayed in Jama'ah. Also, he mentioned to keep the brotherhood strong, and that's because when an individual is on his own, then Satan can very easily lead him astray and take him away. And when there's two or three or four, then it is less likely, or Satan has basically a harder job. Also, then he mentioned from this evidences from this, when the Sahaba were spread out in a particular valley, and he came to them and he said that this spreading of yours, this separation of yours, is from the works of Shaitan. And then also he mentioned that when one stands up to pray, that Satan will not leave him even then. As soon as he starts his prayer, then Satan will come to him and he will whisper and whisper until he forgets his prayer and forgets what he's doing. And also he mentioned about Adhan, that when the Adhan is said, we know that Satan, he runs away, far away, breaking wind. And then he went on to mention a particular dhikr, which if you read 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening, it is a protection against Satan.
La ilaha illallah wa rahmatu la sharika la. There's no one has the right to worship. The right to be worshipped except Allah alone. Law al mulk wal hamd, for him is the rulership and all praise. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, he has all power and ability of everything.
And they also mentioned to reading Ayatul Kursi, because Ayatul Kursi is one of the best protections that one can have against against Shaitan. And then he went on to say about reading Surah Al-Ikhlas and also reading the last two surahs in the Quran, Qul A'udhu Rabbi Nas and Qul A'udhu Rabbi Al-Falaq. And regarding the Ayatul Kursi, if a believer was to read it in the morning, it will be enough protection for him for the whole day. And if he was to read it in the evening, it will be protection for him all night. And then reading Surah Al-Baqarah, reading at night and at day and the daytime as well, is also a protection.
The opposite is true. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, it means that this is the one that you say in the morning, protection for the morning. And if you say evening, protection from the evening. Regarding Ayatul Kursi, you can use it. And
and reading certain du'as like A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaqa, du'as like this, and any other du'as that are from the good authentic du'as that one can secure himself from the effects of the shayateen.
Alhamdulillah wahda, والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. أيها الأخوة في الله، هناك بعض الأمور المتممة لما تقدم في كلام أخي أبي أنس حفظه الله، متممات فقهية حول موضوع السحر، حتى نأتي على الموضوع من أطراف. فنقول المسألة الأولى أن السحر علم، وهو من العلم الضار غير النافع، والذي استعاد منه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، كان يستعيذ بالله من علم لا ينفع، ومن نفس لا تقنع، ومن غيرها من هذه الأمور التي ذكرت في الحديث. والذي يدل على أن السحر علم قول الله تبارك وتعالى يعلمون الناس السحر، وقوله تعالى وما يعلمان من أحد، وقوله تعالى ويتعلمون منهما. ومن السنة حديث الراهب والغلام، حديث صهيب رضي الله عنه في صحيح مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر أن ملكا كان له ساحر، وأن هذا الساحر كبر، فطلب من الملك أن يرسل إليه غلاما ليعلمه السحر، ثم قص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القصة بكاملها وهي في صحيح مسلم. وبذلك نعلم أن السحر له أسباب يتعاطى بها وأنها يمكن أن تدرك وتتعلم، ولكن هذا العلم من العلم المذموم، من العلم المحرم في دين الله تبارك وتعالى. لا يجوز للمسلم المؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن يتعلم شيئا من أمور السحر.
And the Sheikh said, in continuation of what our Sheikh Musa Nasir mentioned, coming from another angle, another side, he mentioned that magic, the sorcery, is actually knowledge. But it is knowledge that is haram. So that it is knowledge that is harmful and not beneficial. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he sought refuge from attaining knowledge that had no benefit. And this is evidence to show that this is knowledge that is has no benefit. And from a soul that doesn't reflect,
I mean, Prophet ﷺ was seeking refuge in Allah ta'ala from ilm la yanfa, and knowledge that was not beneficial. Itself does not satisfy. A dua that لا يستجاب له, a dua that is not acceptable.
He also mentioned from evidence to show that magic is a knowledge, is the ayah in the Quran where he said يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ سَحْرًا, that they taught the people magic, and use the word يُعَلِّمُونَ, which is stretched from the word ilm, you know, knowledge. So they gave knowledge to the people of Sahar. And then also the ayah where he said وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, and they were not teaching
قَلْبُنَا تَخْشَى.
Oh yeah, it's remember the last one, exactly what I said. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ is also evidence for this, to show that this sahar is a knowledge. He also mentioned the word ilm again in another ayah where he said وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا, and they were teaching from them both. So this teaching is teaching what? You teach knowledge. So it's regarding that it's true that this is knowledge. Then he mentioned about the hadith of Suhaib in Sahih Muslim, which is a very long hadith, which is well known to most of us here, about the king who had a sorcerer, and the sorcerer was getting old, so he sent the boy to learn from him the sorcery. And he mentioned, and then you can read the hadith of Sahih Muslim. And so the Sheikh said, Salim Hafidullah, he said that sorcery, it has its reasons to be learnt, and it is something that can be learnt, but you must know that it is something which is haram for the one who truly believes in Allah Ta'ala and the last day.
وهذا يبين لنا بطلان ذاك الحديث المنسوب للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, وهو حديث لا أصل له في شيء من كتب السنة. تعلموا السحر ولا تعملوا به, لأن هذا مصادم لآيات القرآن الكريم ولأحاديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ولم يثبت هذا الحديث أو لم يرد في شيء من كتب السنة, وإنما هو من وضع السحرة وأعوانه.
And then he said that from here, this explains the falsehood of the following hadith, which has no basis whatsoever. Work magic, but do not work with the magician. Or work sorcery, but don't work with the sorcerer.
Learn sorcery, but don't practice it.
Learn sorcery, but don't practice it. This hadith, one, is unauthentic, it has no origin whatsoever, and this is only used by the sorcerers, those who wish to continue this in this manner.
وهنا مسألة أخرى تنبني على هذا الباب, ألا وهي أنه لا يجوز فك السحر بالسحر, أي لا يجوز في علاج السحر أن تذهب لساحر ليبطل سحر الساحر, فإن هذا من باب التعاون على الإثم والعدوان، لأنك لو أنكرت على الساحر فتقول لك أنا لا أسحر وإنما أبطل سحر الآخرين، وهكذا تتوالى المسألة ولا يمكن أن نصل إلى قرار. فلذلك أبطل الشرع هذه المسألة من أصلها، لا يجوز تعليمه ولا تعلمه، وإنما يلجأ الإنسان إلى ما ثبت في كتاب الله وما ثبت في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأمور الشرعية المتعاطاة، ومن أعظمها الرقى الشرعية التي ثبتت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فعندما سحر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما أنزل الله عليه المعوذتين: قل هو الله أحد، قل أعوذ برب الفلق، وقل أعوذ برب الناس، واسترقى بهما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، رقاه بهما جبريل، فكأنما نشط من عقاب.
So the Shaykh went on to say that from this issue here, it's imperative to know that we are not allowed to cure magic or sorcery with sorcery, because this is indeed from the works of وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَىٰ إِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, from the prohibition of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, when He said, and do not aid one another upon sin and enmity. And this then also shows the falsehood also of those magicians or sorcerers when you go to them and you say to them, this, what you're doing is haram, it's not permissible, and they say this is aiding one another upon enmity and sin. They say, well, look, I'm not doing this sahar, I'm not doing this magic or this sorcery to harm by it, I'm just doing it in order to cure a magic or source or something that happened already by a different magician. You're using it to cure it. So this is something, he said, which is prohibited and not permissible. And it is better for the true believers in Allah Ta'ala to return to the Qur'an and the authentic Sunnah, and using that which is legislated in the Sharia to provide ruqyah, reading over the sick person using in the correct manner, and from these things to read are the last two surahs in the Qur'an, the Mu'adhatain, the Surah Al-Nas and the Falaq, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did so. And Usna.
المسألة الأخرى هي أمر اشتهر وانتشر وقد يقع فيه بعض الناس عن جهل أو بمزاح أو غير ذلك, وهو علاقة السحر بالتنجيم. علاقة السحر بالتنجيم علاقة فردية, وقد نبه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أن الاقتباس من النجوم هو نوعا من السحر, فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث ابن عباس في سنن أبي داود وغيره بإسناد صحيح: من اقتبس شعبة من النجوم فقد اقتبس شعبة من السحر. ولذلك فإن هؤلاء الذين يسمون أنفسهم بالفلكيين أو بالمنجمين أو بغير هذه الأسماء إنما هم يتعاطون في الحقيقة سحرا ويدعون علم غيب, ولذلك لا يجوز لمسلم يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن يصدقهم أو أن يقرأ لهم شيئا, لأنهم يزعمون أنهم يعلمون أحوال العباد وأحوال الناس وعلاقة مستقبلهم بحاضرهم عن طريق النجوم. ولذلك لا تكاد ترى جريدة أو مجلة أو شيء من هذا إلا تجد فيها ما يسمى بحظك اليوم أو أنت والنجوم, يدعي فيها هؤلاء الهالكون على الله عز وجل رجما بالغيب أنهم يعلمون الغيب, فمواليد برج كذا وكذا يفعل كذا وكذا وهكذا. وقد يقرأ بعض الجهل من المسلمين هذه الأبراج وهم يظنون أنه لا شيء عليهم, وهذا فيه مخالفة لأمر الله, مخالفة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونخشى أن يدخلوا في قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أتى كاهنا وقال له لم تقبل له صلاة 40 يوما.
Now the Sheikh went on to say that another issue which indeed is spread all over everywhere is the connection between the sorcerer and the sorcery and astrology, where we find the sorcerer seeking guidance from the stars, which in fact upon is something which is shirk. And he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which had this, had the meaning of whoever seeks guidance from the stars, then he has associate partners with Allah, or to that meaning. Also, people who call themselves astrologers, they call themselves astrologers in order to deceive the people, but in truth fact they are sorcerers, magicians, or doing sorcery or doing magic. And any Muslim that truly believes in Allah Ta'ala and the last day, he will never go to these people and seek guidance or aid or help in any form or fashion. And you find also, the Shaykh mentioned, people reading newspapers and magazines and articles whereby in there they have the stars, and the stars say this and the stars say that in many magazines. All these things come under the name of astrology, but in actual fact it is none else but sorcery. And also from the things that these people, these astrologers say also, is that they say that they know the unseen. And you only have to read their articles and whatnot, and you'll find that they try to tell you about the unseen in there. And you find today many ignorant Muslims reading them, they have no understanding of Islam, so they read them thinking that there's going to be no harm upon them, thinking that there's nothing's going to happen. But indeed, this is all in total opposition of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had told us of, and we fear that these ignorant ones may fall into the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, "Whoever comes to a diviner or a magician or sorcerer, that his prayers will not be accepted for 40 days."
وأما موضوع العين فالعين ثابتة في الكتاب وفي السنة وفي إجماع المسلمين. أما الآيات التي تدل على أن العين موجودة فإجماع أهل التفسير على تفسير قول الله تبارك وتعالى عندما نهى يعقوب عليه السلام أبناءه أن يدخلوا من باب واحد، قال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة. اتفق أهل التفسير على أنه نهاهم عن ذلك خشية العين، خشية العين. ومن الأدلة التي يستدل بها أهل العلم على مسألة العين ما قاله ربنا تبارك وتعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن كادوا ليسلكونك بأعينهم، أي يصيبونك بالعين، يصيبونك بالعين، ليسلكونك بأبصارهم. فهذه أيضا آية تدل على الإصابة بالعين. ومن الآيات والآيات في هذا الباب ذكر أهل العلم يكفي منها هاتين الآيتين.
And the Shaykh went on now to explain the evil eye, and he said that this evil eye is something which is well established in the Quran and the Sunnah and Ijma. And then he quoted two evidences from this, from the Quran. And the first one, he said, before he read the ayah out, he said that there was Ijma, consensus by all the Mufassireen, those who make tafsir of the Quran, upon the meaning of this ayah. And the ayah in Surah Yusuf, where he ordered his sons when they go to Egypt to enter from many doors, do not enter from many doors, enter all of you from one door. And this ayah, don't all of you enter from one door, all of you enter through various doors, many doors. And they made consensus upon this, that this was because of the evil eye, to fear that, so that they will not be affected by the evil eye. And in the second ayah, I didn't get this down, but I'm sorry, I got it down.
So the other verse is saying, "In kad al-ladina kafar liyazluqunaka bi-absarihim." That means the kuffar almost trying to harm you with their evil eye. So the Mufassireen, the ones who really interpret the Quran, said that it's almost they made the Prophet ﷺ harm him with their evil eyes. And he said, went on saying that a lot of proofs and a lot of dalil, a lot of ayat through this concerning this matter, but it's enough to witness by these two verses.
أما السنة ففيها حديث كثيرة على مسألة العين حتى إن حديث العين متواتر عند أهل العلم منها قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم العين حق ومنها قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن العين لتنزل الرجل القبر والجمل القدرة ومنها قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن كان شيء سابق القضاء والقدر فتسبقه الأنفس أي الأعين وغيرها من كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن العين لتستنزل الحالق ما معنى تستنزل الحالق أي تجعل الرجل يصعد إلى جبل شاهق فيتردى منه وأحاديث العين كثيرة وكثيرة جدا كما سيأتي في بعض الأمور المتفرعة عن هذا
The Shaykh went on to say As for the Sunnah, this is from the Sunnah, then there are many, many ahadith. And the ahadith, the scholars have made mutawatir. And from these ahadith is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that the evil eye is reality. And also is saying that evil eye will bring a man to his grave. And also is saying if something was to precede al-Qadr, then indeed it would be the evil eye.
Same hadith says, it will enter the camel inside the... He said the evil eye, the second hadith that my brother mentioned, that the evil eye will make the man goes into the grave and makes the camel go into this big susfan.
And after these ahadith, mentioning these ahadith, the Shaykh said that there are many, many more ahadith on this topic to prove the establishment of this evil eye, that this is something which is reality, and which will...
The evil eye will drop him down. So and the last hadith that the Shaykh has mentioned that the evil eye is لَتَسْتَنْزِلُ الْحَالِقُ that means take him down from the mountain.
And then he said that the other hadith inshallah will come in as we move on into the next room.
وَقَدْ اتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمَاءُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَلَى أَنَّ الْعَيْنَ حَقٌّ كَمَا ذَكَرَ ذَلِكَ الْإِمَامُ بْنُ الْقَيِّمِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ